it's time to carry on up the line with Dave Morgan.
Hi, this is Blair.
Hi, this is Wade.
And you're listening to Alan Birchall
and Jackie Jax
and our daddy, Online Dancer Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Here we are. It's time to carry on up the line. And here we are. It's me, Dave Morgan, with you once again. But before we do, I just want to say a huge thank you to, of course, our DJs today, for all our, their live shows. Nick this morning, loved some of the tracks Nick you picked out. And then we went over to Singapore to join Philip. And Philip did an all country show today. Wow. What a great show. Joe Phillips, and real great country tracks that you picked out. And then, of course, you will have had Christopher and Megan this afternoon with their podcast. And then we had an extra show with our lovely Kathy Hodgson. And then, of course, if you've just been tuned in, you will have heard our Fred talking with Jose Miguel Bayoquevane. So, really good fun. Jose's laugh is just filthy. I just can't, as soon as he starts laughing, as me and Stitches. But anyway, so thank you so much, guys, and thank you all of you who have tuned in so far, and we'll give you a shout out just in a moment. But of course, with no further ado, I'd like to welcome on to this week's show, of course, Mr. Alan Birchall and Jackie Jax. So hello, guys, are you with me?
Of course we're with you. Where else would we be on a Tuesday evening?
Oh. Well, you're very busy. You're very busy people, you know.
We are.
Well, definitely.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight to come and join everybody. So we can't wait for some of your stories, and we've got your top 10 dancers. So thanks to everybody that's voted. It's been awesome. So how are you both? Are you keeping, I hope you're both keeping well?
Yeah, we are, actually. We're just keeping away from everybody, and it's keeping us well.
Well, there we are. It's the main...
I'm living in the garden now. I think we've got fed up of each other, and I've been relegated to the garden.
Oh, right. Have you been put in the shed?
Well, if I had a shed, I would be, but unfortunately, no. No, I've got to sit under a rose bush.
Well, guys, we've got quite a few people already tuned in onto the Line Dancer Radio chat room, so I will tell you who's listening in so far, who's come to say hi. So we've got we've got Mr. Phoenix Adamson, from New Zealand. So of course it's Wednesday, so we're speaking to him in the future. We've got our lovely Jean Robinson down from Sunbury on Thames, and then we've got a new listener tonight. We've got, and I hope I get this right, this is Tino Herger from Switzerland. And looking forward to a great show. So hello to Tino. And he says it's another night shift coming up here. Says he's preparing a music library of all line dancers in the Swiss line dance charts from 1998 till 2020. Only 400 songs more to go. So there, hello, Tino. So while you're listening in, I hope we spur you on. We've got the Baycrofts. Hello, Pauline and Dave are both tuned in with us tonight. We've got Suzanne Dingwall, of course, from Australia, and it's 6 a.m. in Adelaide. We have Kirsty Harpen Fox, Mr. Adrian Checkley is with us, of course, and Julian Fred as well, of course, also tuning in as well. So hello to you guys. And Leslie Kidd and Chris Lovelock. So hello, hello, hello. And Mr. Ross Brown checking in. So, of course, as you go along, we'll say hello throughout the show. So, guys, so obviously... we know one thing that we know, Alan, you've been doing, and we'll come to that in a moment while you've been off, while we've been in lockdown. So what have you done, apart from the obvious, to entertain yourselves as such? What have you been doing?
Are we allowed to say that on air?
Yeah. You can say anything on me. You can say everybody that can say what you like on this show.
I think to entertain ourselves, we've been talking to each other rather than shouting.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, you see, this is it, you see, because obviously you've not been at classes and things, so you see, that's it, you see, you can't argue with each other, you can't shout at each other when one of you goes wrong.
Oh, we can.
So, Alan, you've obviously, one thing I know you've been doing, which has been really, really, really important, of course, has all to do with the NHS, of course, with the Thursday nights here in the UK, of course, at 8 p.m. And of course, we've all been going out to cheer and obviously clap for all our key workers, our frontliners as such. So tell us, so for those most people listening in should be aware, but if they're not, or of course our listeners from overseas, they obviously may not know what you've been doing. So tell our listeners, Alan, what have you been up to?
Well, obviously, it's a very important thing with everything that's going on around here that that people get together, really. I mean, it's obviously been around the world. But I think the first 2 weeks we went out to clap, and it was a bit sad, really, in the streets. So on the third week, I decided I would get all... This is going to sound like I will get all my equipment out. Excuse the pun.
It is called Carry On Up The Line, so it's...
And I do a little mix where I pick songs that are generally relevant to what's happening around, but are also uplifting as well. And it runs for about 5 minutes, and then at the end there's always one that is really relevant, that shows, you know, how things could be, if you like, when we're all back together and there's always hope and all that. So I kind of do that. And it, like I say, I think I'm on the eighth one now, something like that. And each week it's a totally different mix. So I spend a couple of days doing that, and it's all thank you for the NHS and key workers. And of course, every mix that I've done so far is on the website.
Yes.
So they can download it and play it.
And you're good enough as well to send me a shortened version as well, so we could play that out as well on the, say, Line Dancer Radio. So feel free, Alan, to keep doing that while that's going on. At 8 o'clock each week, so we'll gladly do that for everybody. But it's what a great, really, really lovely idea. It's been so fabulous to see what people have been doing, trying to bring everybody together. It really has been superb. So we're going back. Well, let's go back, shall we? Back in time. Obviously for both of you, it's probably a separate question. But Alan, where did line dancing all start for you?
Well, how do you mean, where did it all start?
Well, how were you persuaded to come into line dancing? What, was it an instant, was it something you just wanted to do? Or, again, for most people I've spoken to each week, it's always been an accident or somebody else's fault.
Well, for me, Vicar of Dibley finished on TV and I had nothing to do on a Thursday night.
So, I love it.
Literally was that. I mean, the neighbours were saying, oh, there's this line dance class, you need to come to that. I said, well, when is it? It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. And Vicar Dibley's on you. No chance. It's just not going to happen.
And what about you, Jackie, as well? How long have you been line dancing? Have you gone...
I've actually been line dancing longer than Alan. I started when my daughter was about 3 or 4 years old. So that's going back to the very early 90s. She was born in 87. So right about 1991, I started. And where I was working, well, where I worked at the time, it was somebody's special birthday, one of the zeros. And none of us had line danced. And my friend chose to go line dancing for her birthday. So we all arranged it, and I think there was about 10 of us. We found a class, went along to the class. It ended up being a class that I went to for a long, long time. And we all turned up, and I think we did like cowgirl something and cowboy or something. That's how we went away saying it. There was a cowgirl and there was a cowboy and there was a slide and there was a something. And I remember us going back to work and just saying, we'll never remember any of this. And a few of us got hooked on it from that. We went back for a couple of weeks. And even to this day, there are still two of us out of the original group that regularly line dance. And there are maybe one or two that dip in and out of it, out of the original group. So that was in Preston. I think it was either 1991-ish, round about then. So... Yeah, long time ago.
Wow. I would need to add that it's the very first season of Vicar of Dibley that was on, which puts it round about 1996 or 1997.
Yeah,
that's when I started.
So you were both bitten. Obviously, you obviously got bitten by the bug. So what? what attracted you to then teach? What you think? Right. Well, I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to teach.
Well, I didn't teach initially. I just thought it was great fun. And you know, going back all those years, I loved what everybody wore to dancing. I couldn't wait to go out and get something, you know, to put on my collars, to tie around my neck, all the little frilly things that we wore, and go back short skirts and boots. So it was a bit like a fashion show as well at the time. And the fact that everybody did the same thing. But I loved what we used to wear to dancing. Absolutely.
I think for me, I just liked the music, and I was surprised how much I could actually remember when I went back the week after, because I weren't certain I was going to go back the week after, but I did, and I could remember quite a bit, and it kind of snowballed from there. Things progress, and you end up having a class, and this, that, and the other, and it just progressed, and I took each step as it came, and I've got to admit, there were some interesting teachers at the time, because left and right feet were not always there, and probably still not.
We still have to label them for you, don't we?
Yeah, I want them wellies.
Love, I was like, it's great. You've got to say, I'm just going to, just to let you know as well, we've also got a few more people have all come to say hello. So my parents are also tuned in South Wales, so good evening to you guys. And we've got,
hi.
Yeah, we've got Chris Lovelock. We have Bev Thompson's with us. Our lovely Lynn Williams. Also, good evening, everyone. And then we're heading over to France now to say hello to Frederic and Duncan, Frederic Povey.
Hi!
Yeah, I see. So,
hi guys.
Yeah. So they've said bravo for the clip Alan that you do each week. So as we say again, we've got some great gifts of the Le Vicar of Dibley, the one where she disappears in the puddle. And our man,
I might do that in a minute.
And of course, our Fred. Our Fred as well. He's with Julie. Of course, he's tuned in as well. So hello. Welcome everybody to the show. So, well, of course, the teaching poll we put out for you, and what a list. Were you surprised by anything that was voted for? Was there any of the dancers that appeared that you had forgotten about, or did you think?
Yeah. There was one in particular that gave me a surprise, and that was from Brenda Thompson, PSE.
Yes, now I have to say, that was number 39 on the list. But I must admit, that is not one that it's not one that I was familiar with either. And I had to go and check that one out, I have to admit.
I did it for an event. We were down Wenway, it was a charity event, and I put a 64-count dance together, but it was really only 32 counts. So I taught it as a 32-count dance, and they're all going, but it's 64. And I went, yeah, but all the steps are the same, they're just on the other foot. So I called it PSE, which stood for Possibly Stupidly Easy.
Right. Because I was...
Only Alan could do that.
Yeah, because I was trying to work out, you see, of course, the name of the track.
Somewhere in My Heart.
Yeah, Somewhere in My Heart, which I thought, what on earth has that got to do with PSE?
Well, it did catch them out, because obviously I'm quite fortunate, being left-footed, I can work with both legs. So it kind of works. So I didn't find it that too difficult, but some did, which obviously goes for the Possibly Stupidly Easy.
Right. Well, I must admit, we're going to say everyone, we're all going up, going, definitely going to go and check that one out again now. Definitely.
Yeah, well, that really stuck out. I'm thinking, hey, someone's remembered that. How did they do that?
So, let's go in, before we catch up with some stories and with you guys as we go along and fit them between the tracks. So, let's go in. We're going to do what I do now is play the top 10. And then, of course, if we do have time afterwards, then we'll be picking out some of your favourites. And, of course, I know, obviously, today what we will be ending the show on. So, you're at number 10. Of course, this one came from... you're choreographed by the both of you, and of course it was Heal Me. So how did this one come about? Because this one did quite, I have to say, if this is, if you like, When I say one of your newer dancers, I mean that in terms of some of the other dancers that have been voted. So how did this one come about? Because this got a lot of votes. When I was doing the poll, this always featured, you know, say, this got voted quite a lot in the chart. So how did this one come about?
Well, basically, the thing with Heal Me, I'm a sucker for really good lyrics, and lyrics that actually mean something rather than a bit of tosh. And also, I like a good tune. Mm-hmm. And I think I was driving around in the car, something like that, and this come on, and I listened to it, and I thought, that really is a cracking lyric. Very emotional to think what the actual song was about and everything. And to some extent, a lot of the stuff that I write to, and obviously that Jackie writes to as well when we're working together, it has to have some form of relevance, and this did. And, you know, I mean, a couple of them were like that.
Yeah.
You know,
we were doing it coming up to several events, weren't we? We had is, and we went down to London to see Keith Urban. This was last March, and luckily enough, we managed to get tickets to two of his events. And it makes up a bit for not seeing him this year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, postponed till later this year. We got tickets for the Saturday at C2C, but Alan found that Keith was doing like an intimate gig on the Wednesday night at the, I can't remember what it's called, the Forum.
Forum. Kentish Town.
Kentish Town on the Wednesday night. And we were chatting with Gary Sams, and he has a class there on a Tuesday, and it was very near to where we were staying. We found a route to where his class was. We popped along to his class. They made us absolutely amazingly welcome. It was absolutely brilliant night we had with them. And he said, you know, asked us if we wanted to teach a dance, and having just written Heal Me, we taught it. They videoed it, and the rest is history, because he made the video for us.
He did make the video.
At the end, the little wiggle at the end appeared, didn't it?
Yes.
At the end of the dance, where the music finishes and it goes, and that's where that started, wasn't it?
I mean, the thing with the Keith Urban gig was, obviously, C2C is a big Forum event.
Yep.
And I do like live shows. And the Wednesday one was an intimate one. So I said to Jackie, well, we're going to have to go to this. I mean, it was half the price of the other one. So it was like, we're going to have to go to this one.
And it was my birthday.
Yes, it was her birthday. Because generally the intimate ones are much better. And we were literally front row. So it was brilliant.
Absolutely. Amazing.
So that's where Heal Me was sort of, that's where it took off,
christened,
wasn't it?
But hearing it in the car and was the start. And also it's like a couple of dances that I've written, they're not my, what I would say, my comfort zone.
Right.
So that's always good, because it gives me a challenge.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yes, because I know before we've had that discussion many a time.
Yes.
Because because of the style of stuff I like, and you always say, I know, more like the more smooth. So I know, because you've surprised me in a couple of things. You've surprised me sometimes. So let's have a listen. Because like you said, it's the first time I heard this track was in the car as well. I was coming home from work one evening, and when I first heard this myself,
I thought,
when
you're on the
A69 or something. The A69. I used to travel that back in about 2008 and 2009. In my old job, so I do remember. I do remember. Yeah, it's weird where I remember these tracks. Now I can actually tell you where I actually heard this track. I was just nearly home, just outside Ashton Underline Police Station. So how mad is that?
Gone in for a visit, had you?
No. Don't have to drive past there to go home. but no, I can tell you exactly where it was. See, this will tell you how things I remember. Well, here we go. Right then, so the lovely Grace Carter sings this beautiful, beautiful song, everybody. This is Heal Me. Again, so if you did miss it, say our own listeners, say abroad as well, you missed it, go and check this out. So here we go, Heal Me. Mm-hmm.
same eyes, complexion, no love or affection, same time, same place, but you don't recognize my face. I'm mad, you're crazy, treat me like your baby, no change, no change at all. Yeah, I've been through some phases and they've only tainted my view. We got similar faces, but I don't feel nothing like you. I'm not waiting for
So there we are, everybody. There was Heal Me there with the lovely Grace Carter. Brilliant stuff. So, hello. So, guys, Sam, just checking you back with me.
Yeah,
still that marvellous. So, so we were talking, as I say, obviously we know so how it's more or less started, certainly for you, Alan. So, obviously, then you came into choreography. And what was the first dance you ever wrote?
Ooh! No, people are going, look at it, it's really bad.
Oh. I think most choreographers would say that. I think we'd probably say that most.
I'm just struggling to remember the title of it in a minute, just a minute. It was a Tanya Tucker one.
Right.
I'm going to make sure I got it right. Go down to S. Well, I've got the website up so I can see.
You can't remember, can you?
No, I can't remember now.
See, it's that long ago. You can't remember.
Oh dear! It was a Tanya Tucker track and all that.
Oh, there you go. S.A. Strong.
No, it wasn't that.
Okay. He's lucky. Look, I love that. This. Is going.
Just talk to Jackie for a minute.
I will.
I'll interrupt.
Is that right? Well, Alan's searching for first dance.
Yeah, come on.
We're
not Alzheimer's.
So I'll speak. Well, I'll say, Jackie, well, there we are. So what, Jackie, do you remember what the first dance you ever you wrote?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Baby Sister. Both our names are on the script, but it was actually my dance.
Right.
I'd been choreographing with Alan for a while before, more or less since I met him, but I never wanted my name to be written on anything. So a lot of the dances early on had a lot of my input in them, but I wasn't confident enough to have my name on anything at that point. And then I can't remember why Alan kept saying to me, you need to do one on your own, need to do it. And this dance came up, and it's Hey Soul Sister by Train. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're great Train fans anyway. We've been to see them several times. And I wrote a little dance called Baby Sister. It did turn out that there were other dancers, a couple of other dancers elsewhere in the world to it. But at the time when we looked, there wasn't. But
well, hey,
I think when we were searching stuff in those days, it wasn't quite as easy to find out as it is now.
No, of course.
So
and
Baby Sister,
and it still happens. Doesn't matter. It still happens with the tracks. It's one of those things. That, you know, it's these days.
Does.
It's unavoidable, really.
But Baby Sister's a little beginner dance, and I taught it in the class, and I also taught it in several other countries as well. Had the opportunity talking to, you know. One of the things I never ever thought I'd do. I never thought I would choreograph anything that anybody else would ever dance, and. I think the first time I taught it abroad, it was we've got two friends out in Holland, both called Jan. One of them I know is listening tonight, so hi Jan, and the other Jan may be listening as well. They're both friends, and we got invited out to Holland. We went out there to spend some time with them. Get confused with all these Jans.
Yeah.
And while we were there, he again invited us along to his class. And asked Alan if he'd teach a dance or maybe two while we were there. And Alan was, yeah, I will. When we arrived, he turned around to me and he said, well, Jackie, you can go first. And I went, what? He said, well, you can teach something first and then Alan can teach. And I went, okay. And Alan's going, yeah, you can teach a Baby Sister. I felt like his warm-up act. It was like, okay. I have never been so nervous in all my life, because I think up until that point I probably hadn't taught outside the class.
Probably not.
No. Anyway, I did it and then breathed a sigh of relief afterwards. But, I mean, we were made so welcome. Jan's class was a mixture of Dutch and German dancers, because his class is right on the border between the two. We had an amazing night, and once I taught that, everything else was up to Alan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
I had to teach soul food.
Oh, yes, you did, because they wanted to learn soul food.
Oh,
yes,
awesome. Wow, yeah. Brilliant. Well, that's just been, you say, recently done over the last few weeks as well by Lorenzo on Streamline. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. And the other place I taught Baby Sister was in France. Mm-hmm. We did an event in France, and before I went, I thought, well, I know a little bit of French. I'm not brilliant, but I can get by.
Better than me.
And I thought, well, I'm going to their country. I'm going to teach a dance in French. So I taught Baby Sister in French in France. And I think apart from the fact that our classes have always actually loved that dance too, it's made it a very special one for me. And yes, it was my first one.
Yeah, it's marvellous stuff.
So my first dance was Tuckered Out. the track was You Just Watch Me by Tanya Tucker.
Right.
Don't Go Looking For It. It's not.
Well, no.
Don't Go Looking For It. It's not online.
Well, it's obviously not on my website.
No. No.
It's not. Which I am absolutely amazed about, actually, because normally everything I've written's on there.
Right. But yeah. It's funny because
I have to make an appearance.
Yeah, definitely. So, Alan. So, obviously, you've been in line dance. What, obviously, now I know that you are now retired. But what did you do before you came into line dance? What was your day to day job?
Well, if we go back to when I was 15, when I left school,
right?
I remember that far back.
Yes, I can remember that. Far back. Our engineer. And which was where I was engineer, I was a toolmaker, which is, I think my claim to fame will be making part of the dashboard for the Ford Capri to make the tool that actually pressed that out,
right,
to work on that. So that, it was that type of thing. But then I left that job and I went to, I ended up at a company called Harlan Machine Systems, which was over in Salford. I used to go there every morning. I'd be up at 6:30, going to work and everything. And just progressed through the ranks till I became a project engineer, which was like taking in customers' orders, designing the machine around what they wanted, getting it built on the shop floor and then ordering all the parts and then bringing the customer in to go around it. A bit like going to a car showroom, show them how to work. So that did well. And that actually got me quite a bit working abroad a lot, going to France and Denmark and places like that. So it was always good, you know, and I don't have a bad word to say about the company, actually, because...
That's good. I was going to ask the listeners, does anybody... You just said you obviously made the part for the Ford Capri. Did any of our listeners have a Ford Capri?
Well, I had one.
Did you? Oh, wow.
I had the Mark II version.
Right.
And then I had two Mark II versions. No, actually, I did have a Mark I version that had it in, but that was like a 3-litre one, so it was well souped up. The other thing I loved about cars is I actually like stripping them down and rebuilding them. And in those days, when I was very, very young, you couldn't afford, obviously, a new car. So you ended up in the second-hand market. So my favourite thing was to strip it all down, rebuild it, so I knew it wouldn't break down.
Well, you see, a man of many talents. Debbie's just popped her head round the door now. She's in the room. She just said,
"Hi, Debbie."
She said hello. She said her dad had a red when she was little. He had a red Ford Capri when she was little. So just putting a full penneth in.
Green one.
Oh dear. So great. And what about you, Jackie? What were you doing before line dance?
Before line dancing. Well, I'm a trained nursery teacher.
Okay.
So I started off teaching in nurseries, nursery schools, and then that was when I lived in the Midlands. That was straight from school. Mm-hmm. And then I moved down to live in South Wales. So
where in South Wales?
I lived in a place called Pencoica, Pontypridd.
He's going to do a name drop now.
No. Oh, go on.
It's in the Rhondda Valley.
Yes.
We used to live on top of a mountain. There was one bus up in the morning and one bus down in the morning and one bus up at night.
The lonely goatherd.
And if you missed the bus, you had to walk. The grig that we used to go up was pretty steep and no footpaths. And I worked for Marks and Spencer's then.
Right.
When I was down there. And then when I moved back up north again, I went back into nursery.
We've not dropped a name.
And then when I moved back up, I've moved around a lot.
So what's Alan getting at here?
Alan calls me a gypsy.
With what?
And I went back into nursery teaching when my daughter was about 3 or 4 years old. I went back into teaching in nursery again, and that's what I've done all my life, really.
So there we go. So Alan.
Yep.
What name she meant to be dropping?
She's meant to be saying that she used to serve Tom Jones's sisters or mother or whatever.
Can't use it in the quiz now.
Oh, I love this. There's going to be a domestic now, everybody.
I called her a gypsy because no matter where we went teaching, she did live near. So every house that she's ever lived in, I actually know now. So it's like, hang on a minute, go up to Carlisle. Oh, we used to live here. We used to live there. Go to Port Talbot. Oh, well, just call in where we lived, up the top of the mountain.
The grind.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, I love it. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Sharon Harris is saying hello to you. Katie Kramer, also with us.
Hi Sharon, hi guys.
I always say to the listeners as well, you're all very welcome to ask to put questions to Alan and Jackie, obviously. Be nice ones, please, be kind.
Yeah, I was just going to say that'd be reasonable.
Yeah, be kind. Yeah, it's all right. Sorry, I can all sift out if there's a... But generally they are. Generally they do send in some really great questions for you as well. So keep an eye on those. Adrian Checkley. He said we had a Ford Capri. And he said it was an old banger. And Steve used to get car parts, used car parts to keep to keep the cost down in the early days. Such fun. So there we go. So, well, going on to your next track, number 9 was A Whole Lot of Leaving.
I knew this one would come up.
So, of course, to say track it, I know the first time I pick the dance out because it's one that we taught, Debbie and I did. And but well, I was surprised at first when I saw that it was by Bon Jovi. And I think that was the first. I was like, oh, right, right, here we go. This is a bit different. So how did this one come about then?
Well, this the prequel to it, if you like, mm-hmm. was I was boots up in Perth with No Angels.
Oh, Anne and Angela.
Yeah. And also Tina Argyle.
Okay.
So I was living in Falmouth at the time, so Tina called at my house and we all went up in my car. And I'd got a CD on. I mean, obviously, A Lot of Leaving hadn't actually come out at this point. It was probably about a week or two after this. And we're driving up and I got a CD playing, which for me is, you know, I mean, it's quite rocky music. And then Tina went, can I just turn this up? And he went, whoop, and she whooped the thing right up. And it was like, we've got a rock chick here. And we blinking rocked it all the way up to Perth. And I taught a dance there, which was a Keith Urban track, actually. Mm-hmm. It was called Tu Compagna. And a lady came up to me and went, there's a lot of turns in that one. And I went, I don't think so. I think in the end, you know, you go around a bit, but you basically only do one turn in it as such. You know, and she went, oh, no, there's a lot in that. So I know A Lot of Leaving came on. I just went, I'm going to put every single turn in I can possibly think of here. And then I got told off for leaving two out.
We should have been with
No Angels this weekend, actually.
Yeah, oh, it's up there. It's one of the ones that's fallen.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's basically how that came out. And, of course, from that, I mean, I never expected it to go as well as what it actually did. Like, that's kind of what I think with most of my dances, they never go anywhere. But I can remember going to a local social and a guy coming up to me and just slapping me on the back going, I want to thank you because I never ever thought we would dance anything to Bon Jovi. And I just went, well, it's a great track, but you can do Somebody Like You to it if you want.
Well, I know Debbie and I remember because it was the one that we went away, not long since after we first met, and we went down to Hemsby on a 10-day with Double H, and we were there with Lizzie, of course, and Lizzie and Lainey, asked to teach, so you've got to tell, yeah, definitely tell us that. So with a whole lot of leave now, I remember, because of course you had a lot of it was a 10-day event, so we had all the live bands as well, which were just brilliant. Brilliant.
Wow.
And then there was Dave. I know Dave Wallace was one of the DJs on that week. And I think they're just in the interim. They'd put on it was Faith Hill. It was Faith Hill, If My Heart Had Wings. Actually, I'm trying to think, was it that, or was it Nadine Summers might have even sung it? And Debbie and I, it was like one of those, what can you fit to this? Because there wasn't, you know, there was no sort of designated dance to that at the time. And we did do a whole lot of leaving to it, and that's why I just think it fits quite well to this. So if anyone wants to know as well, an
Brilliant.
Alternative, it fits very well to that. So, well, let's go into Bon Jovi, and then I'm going to come, we'll be coming back to you, and we'll be finding out about your stories again, with Lizzie. So again, guys, don't go away, because
there's a bit further up the list, that one.
Yeah, a bit further up the list, yeah. So I know with quite a few of these dancers that have got in the top 10, there's loads of stories attached. So anyway, guys, let's have a listen to this then. Let's get some, get your rocking heads on. Here we go. A whole lot of leaving.
Yeah.
It's pretty cold for late September. Is creeping in. The summer sun packed up, it's long gone. There's a whole lot of leaving going on. Yeah. I bet it's warm in California. I think it's time to hit the road. Might call that band of gypsies. Go searching for a pot of gold. Seems like lately there's a whole lot of leaving going on. out the door. So then you turn around and ask me, do we got it anymore?
Awesome stuff there. Yeah, a whole lot of leaving. So great, great, say great stories there. Alan, Jackie, Brenda and Thomas, Brenda Thomason and Mike are also tuned in with us too.
Hi guys.
I hope they can remember PSE.
Yeah, I'm sure they can. These, every time I see Brenda and Mike, they give me a run for a test to run for my money and says, Dave, can you remember this? Can you remember the pair of them? Suddenly just boot this dance, this real all time classic dance out and you think, they're brilliant. They're awesome. Oh, superb. And Alexis Strong and Teresa are also, they've dropped by to say hi as well. So they're tuned in with us too.
Hi, Alexis.
Now, going back, I'm going to get this in now. I have a question from Kirsty Harpham Fox. And Kirsty would like to know, and probably put it to both of you, could be separate memories or a joint one, but she wants your fondest memory of teaching.
Fondest. That's a tough one, actually, because every time we teach, it's special.
Yeah.
It all depends, because I like a laugh as good as anybody else, so there's nothing ever serious when we're teaching in that respect.
Fondest.
It's a difficult one, because each event is very different, and they each have their own special nuance, if you like, and special memory, so it's difficult.
I know one.
I think my favourite one, rather than a fondest one, would be the first time I taught at the awards with Hot Fudge. That is definitely one.
Ooh, now there's a dance.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Because apart from being extremely nervous, and always extremely honoured to teach at the awards, it was a case of, I like people to have a laugh, enjoy, you know, I don't look upon teaching as regimented, you know, crack a few jokes, get everybody laughing, it makes it easier. And I can remember being extremely nervous and going a bit fast teaching the dance and then just thinking, hang on, you may never ever teach at the awards again, so slow down and take it easy. So I did, and I cracked a couple of jokes, especially one particular thing in Hot Fudge, which was, I'm going to say it anyway. So there's a bit in Hot Fudge where you kind of do two half pivots, you know, step half pivot, step half pivot. Yep. And I got to that bit and it was like, okay, Hot Fudge, it's Robbie Williams. Robbie Williams, he's got a bit of an attitude. So when you do this bit, just click your fingers and think, hey, I'm the dog's dangly bits. Let's do this. And I just floored everybody. And it's also, at the end of that, George Thompson came up to me and said, when you started that, I just had to stop and watch. It was absolutely fantastic. Anyway, that's by and by and on another dance entirely. But right, that is a pretty special memory. Okay. And especially today with what's been going on with, anyway,
yeah, later. Yeah, of course.
I would say, yeah. Mm.
just for some of the list, obviously you'll have been with me on the show, and I dedicated, of course, a show to, of course, Mabel Thompson's just recently left us, passed away, and of course it was the funeral this week, send a lot of hugs and loves out to George. Most people, George Thompson, of course, I mean, I knew George and Mabel through competition. I mean, that's how I first met them. When I lived down south, I went to all the competitions, all the CWDs. So I spent many an hour in their company and all their gang as well at the time. Great memories. But of course, he was always known though on the competition circuit as Happy George.
Yeah, really?
He was. That's well. He was. He was.
I can remember my first encounter with George. I'm not sure whether anybody else got the same treatment, but I certainly did. But I was at an event, it was probably the awards or something like that, and he'd come up with Mabel at the side of him, and he looked at me right in the face, and he had his finger pointed to his face, and, "Remember this face. Whatever you do, remember this face. I'm George Thompson, remember this."
You've never forgotten.
I've never forgotten. And it was great to see him at Legends a couple of years ago, him and Mabel.
Absolutely
fantastic.
Yeah, really, really great couple. But he just, honestly, there was the whole thing about him, because he never cracked you. That was the whole thing about George. Very rarely did you ever see him crack a smile. And that was, the loveliest guy.
He was a forerunner for Victor Meldrew.
Victor Meldrew, yeah. You're right. I think David Rennick must have met George and based his character. So I'm going to say a good morning to Jan Zinner. Jan Zinner's down in Australia. So really good morning, Jan, to you. Well, thank you for tuning in with us tonight. So going on then. So your next dance in the list at number 8 was Don't Stop Moving.
Yes.
And he hasn't stopped.
This was the first
dance I ever taught of yours, Alan. This was when I discovered Alan Birchall. Because I remember never meeting you. I'd never met you because, again, I lived down south down that time and very rarely ventured up north, even though I am from... By the way, before anyone has a go, I am from up north. but I lived down there at the time, and I remember getting this script. And, of course, it wasn't like just hopping onto Line Dancer or Copper Knob or any other... Or Kick It or any of the other sites.
LDUK.
It was even more or less really before that, and the sheets had come up, and I got this sheet. God, I can't even remember where it came from. It came from something like the Super Dance Floor Highway or something ridiculous like that.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
And I remember it saying, it was so formal, Alan G. Birchall. But I conjured up this picture, and I don't know why, because it sounded so formal. Alan G. Birchall. I don't know. I'd sort of put in my God. I said this. I thought, oh, you know. I just put in my head, my mind at the time. Oh, this must be from an older gentleman. And then then it was. So I'm sorry. I put you in your 70s 20 years ago, and not knowing.
I'm glad you can't see us now.
and I just remember, and I thought to myself, and then of course learning the dance, I thought, this is bloody good. I thought the class will love this. This is really, and it was just unreal. The first time when I did travel up north, it was, I think, and the first time as somebody said to me, "That's Alan Birchall over there." And I went, and then there's me looking around. I went, "Where?" And I'm looking, where?
I'm Alan, invisible.
That's Alan. Then he could Alan. That's Alan. I went, "No." there's my story of the first dance I saw.
I love it.
But I know you've got a story as well, haven't you, Alan, for this one?
Well, yeah, I mean, Don't Stop Moving. I mean, it's very special, it has to be, because it's the first time I got a crystal boot. So it's extremely special in that respect, as all the dances are really, but obviously the ones that win awards, you kind of think, well, done all right, but yes. Anyway, by and by. Basically, I got this track 6 weeks early, and I was listening to it, and I'm thinking, got to be funky, you'll be pretty good to this.
Yeah.
And then the track changed. And I went, oh, oh dear. So then I kind of locked myself away with the track and kind of thought, what could I do? Because it's a pretty funky track, or a funky track in those days, even if it's not now. And I thought, I need to think about it. But I had to do it in three separate sections because it's changed every time, and just made it that way. Put it out, ABC, put it out on LDUK and saying, I don't think anybody will ever teach this dance, but this is what I see this needs. And there was a lady down south who's just escaped my memory of what she's called, and she put up about 3 weeks later that she taught it and the class had liked it. And things kind of went from there. And then I met Tim Musger by then, and he was involved with Superstars. And they were on tour, they were down south, and he phoned me up and asked me, they're coming to Manchester, they're coming to Hermitage Centre, and he'd asked me if I'd teach it, and I went, oh, right, okay, because I'd never done any event like that at all at any point in my life at that point, so it was really, really weird. And I said, okay, I'll do it, and it was a case of, I'm going to bring Pat Stoss in here, because she said to me, what are you going to wear on your back? I went, what do you mean? I just have a shirt on. I said, no, but everybody's going to watch your back, so you need something. So I went out and I got some little diamantes and lined them on the shirt and everything just to make it okay. And walking in to the Hermitage Centre, of course, they got all the superstars lined up, and Rachel actually knew my name, so I was absolutely floored. And I went up to teach, and favourite memory was obviously watching all the superstars all lined up, learning Don't Stop Moving. And at the end of it, can't remember which one it was actually, it might have been someone like Darren Bailey maybe come up, and he said, I'm really glad you've taught that, we've been waiting from Portsmouth to learn that bloody dance. So it was just a great memory, and the dance, I mean, we do it a lot, really.
We do.
Class events, weekends. It's one that crops up every now and again as one we want, you know, they'd like me to teach again. So it does still get done.
We call it an In on the Prom dance, because every time we go to the In on the Prom, our regulars always want to dance Don't Stop Moving. So you put it on Friday night and inevitably somebody will say, can we learn that one? There you go. Can we recap that one?
Yes.
Yeah, it's always been one of my favourites. So let's remind everybody then. So those who weren't dancing at this time as well, because this is the whole thing. Some of these dancers now are brand new to a lot of people. And I suppose that's what's been great about all the virtual teachers with the Streamline and the Retro Line and the Digital Dance Weekend, where people have started bringing back all these really great classic dancers that really should be back on the floors. So I'm hoping a lot of people have taken notice of some of these dancers.
Some of them have never left.
No, that's true. There's plenty of yours that have never left.
They're not that good.
Yeah, no, there's but there is, it's true. Some have never left, but I love, there's one or two that people have picked out recently, and I thought, oh, I'm so glad somebody's picked up on that. I'm so glad somebody's done that. So here we go. This is Don't Stop Moving, a bit of S Club 7. Yeah, come on. DJ got the party started, there's no end in sight. Everybody's moving to the rhythm that's inside. It's a crazy world, but tonight's the right situation. Don't get left behind. I can feel the music moving through me everywhere. Baby, we don't even care. There's a place to be if you need the right education. Let it take you there. And just go with the magic, baby. I can see it there in your eyes. I can see it there in your eyes. And there we go. Don't Stop Moving, and the love is coming in there. say, Lynn Williams said, I used to love this one, so I should be digging out the sheet now, guys.
I still remember it.
Good. Yeah, well, this is it. Well, you'll have to, Lynn, you'll have to come and visit at some point. You'll have to come up north, and we'll take you to Alan and Jackie's, and you can do a retro night and reteach everything.
Oh. We can do a socially distanced teach.
Yes. but Adrian Checkley's just made a really good point, actually. He says, I was talking about, obviously, when I first got the script with Alan G. Birchall, but he's quite right, because there was quite a lot, actually, with Patricia E. Stott and Niels B. Poulsen as well.
Yeah.
I think it was just at that time. I think, do you know what it was? Way back when as well, a lot of people had nicknames, too, on their step sheets. So they were so certain people were known. It's like last night I was laughing. There was an article in the Line Dance magazine that I covered last night on Timelines with Steve Rutter.
And
of course Steve was known as the
Steve
Hat.
Steve the Hat. Yeah. Yes.
So you would get things like that on step sheets rather than people's full names.
Mm. Yeah, well, I have the gene for my dad, because my dad was called George.
I see.
When it looked up all the search engines.
It did look up the search engines, but that's basically what it is. And in some respects, I'm a lot like my dad, because he could never hold down a hobby. We're always forever changing onto different things, and I do.
So you've just mentioned, you've just brought us into something, actually. It's tied in quite well, Alan. We've just obviously mentioned Pat, the lovely Pat Stott. And your dance at number 7, you co-choreographed alongside this lovely lady. Of course, it was A Devil in Disguise.
Yeah, A Devil in Disguise. That come about, so I know she was on your show and we mentioned it then a couple of weeks back. But she might correct me here, but I think we were at it was something like over New Year or something like that. We were coming up to a big charity do with the LDTA, because we were both members of the Line Dance Teachers Association that sprung up around Manchester. And it's an association where you all got together and talked with each other and said what you were teaching and all this, that and the other, kind of keeping everything together. And we went out this particular, it was either a Saturday or a Sunday, no, a Saturday night, I think it might have been. And we went back to this couple's house and they were just putting records on. And Pat...
Records? What are records, Alan?
Oh, right, sorry. I've been CDs, sorry, you know. Sorry. Yes, it would be CDs, yes.
Showing your age.
Oh, dear, mate, plant pots out of records. And Pat says to me, I mean, Pat, as far as Anthony was working with the deans, I mean, I'm like, nobody, you know. And she come up, me and you have to write a dance together. I'm like, what? Really? You're kidding me? You wanna write with me? I was blown away. And that actually came on, A Devil in Disguise. And she looked at me and she went, we're going to write to that. I went, you what? You're kidding me, aren't you? And she said, no, we'll write to that. And I went, I'm not sure about that. So when we were going, was outside the house just before, and I just said, you sure we want to write to this? And she went, yeah. I go, well, let me think about it. So we got back home, of course, and was listening to the track, and I thought, I'll just do that slow bit at the beginning. So I kind of did all the bits, Walk Like an Angel, this, that, and the other. And then I basically said to her, right, I've done my bits. And then I sat down and thought, actually, I want to go a little bit further. So then I put the skips back and everything. Went right up to a point to where we got to where we're going to, we ended up with the heel switches in. I stopped just at that point and I sent it off to her and I went, right, this is my bit, you can do yours. And she got back on phone to me and she went, you might as well have wrote the dance. I went, no, we're doing it half each, so, you know, you can do your bit. So she did her bit, and then we got to the Armitage Centre. It was the day of the event, and we were just tying it up together, just putting it all together, and there were people coming up to us saying, are you teaching that today? Are you teaching that? I said, well, I just wrote it. We've not got the sheet out yet. No. And basically, that's how that happened, and it just went wild after that. And I ended up in France about, what, probably 8 years ago, maybe, might be less than that now. And they put it on. So, can you remember it? Well, fortunately, I could, because I'd done it about 3 weeks earlier in the class. But then what they did, we want all the boys or all the men on the stage because they wanted to see the hip wiggles. So we did it. We did it all on stage, and there's a video of that somewhere.
Yeah, I can't find that video. Patty's got it somewhere.
Yeah, Patty's got it somewhere.
She said that she always, Patty always surprises everybody that she books by picking out a dance and seeing whether the choreographer can remember their dance. And that was the one she picked out. And Alan just breathed a sigh of relief because I think you'd actually recaptured that long before.
Yeah. I mean, I would have managed it, but it might have been a bit tricky on some of it, but... But every now and again in class, it still comes up.
Every so often, yeah. Yeah,
great dance, one ball dance.
Yeah, the last, I know it's one of the, I say last times I do remember us dancing, it was at the LDF day in Manchester, because it was part of the, they did the, I want to call it a, Dance a Mile, that's what it was called. Thanks, Debbie. It was called the Dance a Mile, and it was one of the dances included in that.
Yeah, well, Getting on to it, no, we'll save the next story because it's kind of linked into that.
Righty-ho.
For when we get further up the list.
Okay, guys. Well, I'm going to say, so The Devil in Disguise, I'm going to play the Trisha Yearwood version here because I'm a huge fan of Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah, no, that, all right, that's so, actually wrote it too.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's have a listen to this. And we are A Devil in Disguise.
You look like an angel. You fool me with your kisses. nibble in the sky. Oh, yes, you are. Nibble in the sky.
So there, what a great version there of, say, The Devil in Disguise. Lovely gift there from Lynn Williams. I think that might, that looks a bit like Jamie Barnfield.
No, I think it's what I had earlier.
Well, it could be because of the amount of costumes they have. It's been, I don't know if you've seen them because Tina every week when she's been doing a tea at four and she's on, then does a Friday nights and themes everything. And then
we've run out of costumes.
Honestly, every week those two, they. I could wait for you every week, and there they appear in these costumes.
Yeah, we have costumes here for every event we've been at, and we won't be able to sit in the house.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a collection going on now in suitcases and stored under the bed and got it.
Yeah.
I want to say
hello. Yeah, you're like us, you're limited for space.
I want to say hello as well to Elaine Edwards. Elaine has just popped onto the chat as well, so hello, my love. Thank you for coming and joining in tonight. So I've just been laughing with Alan now because he says, because we go on to one thing and then he's about to tell you something and then we go, and then we go off on another tangent. So we were talking about the LDF day in Withenshaw. So does that boost you?
Oh, no, that was for something else.
Oh, that was something else, was it?
It wasn't LDF in those days. At the Armitage Centre.
Oh, not the Armitage, no. No.
You moved on to LDF.
Have
we? Yeah. Oh, no, it's all right. You can go back to the... It's all right. We're all quite easy, you know. We can all go back to the Armitage Centre. We're not bothered.
Yeah, that was like a big charity do that they did. I mean, everyone collected things. And there was probably about 22 members, maybe. I know Ann Wood was in one, and quite a few local instructors as well.
Was it Chrissy Hodgson? Was Chrissy Hodgson as well? I think, was she part of it too?
No. She wasn't part of this at that point, because we're going back to something like 2003-04, maybe.
Right.
Or it might have been earlier than that, to be honest. And there'd be like 1,500 people at the event, so we'd do a dance a mile. And, some good memories there. Definitely good memories there of that. But, it was good. I mean, to me, that's what we're here for, line dancing. We should all be, like, together. And we've all got our differences. You know, we all expect, you know, you have your nightclubs. I have my up-tempo. So we all have different things, and we all have valid opinions of things. And
of course.
I think, generally... We're all singing on the same hymn sheet.
Yes.
Which is great. Which is what we should be.
Absolutely.
Dave, you had a lady called Kirsty that asked you earlier about fondest memories.
Yes.
Alan's just said something that's triggered a memory for me.
Oh, go on.
I call it a fondest, but it's a treasured memory. He's talking about all these different places you used to dance. And do you remember when we did the Guinness Book of Records thing where we did a couple of years where we went to Aintree Racecourse?
Yes.
And we did it twice. The first year was fine. The second year it poured with rain and we were all underneath the things. And then the third year they thought, oh, hang on, if it rains again, what are we going to do? So they held it at the Velodrome in Manchester.
Uh-oh.
Alan knows what I'm going to say now. Mm-hmm. So me and a couple of my friends, this is before I knew Alan, because, I mean, not everybody knows. I haven't always known you, have I, Alan?
No, yeah.
And I went along to the Velodrome and Alan was there and I didn't know who he was at the time. And he
wishes you didn't.
And I was absolutely amazed with his, You taught hot fudge, didn't you? Or you danced
hot
fudge.
No, I danced hot fudge.
You danced hot fudge, and we've got a video of that somewhere.
I saw it Having a Good Day by Neil Diamond.
That's right. But my fondest memory that I didn't know would stick
with
me forever.
You should save this bit for up here.
No, I'm going to say that. Kirsty might still be listening. I was actually dancing behind Alan, on the row behind Alan, when he was dancing what a track you're going to play later on, one up with a number one next to it. And he was doing this dance that I had learned. I didn't know it was his dance. And this guy in front of me falls over, does a backward roll, gets up and carries on dancing. I later find out that that was Alan. And I was dancing behind him with his all-time classic, legendary favourite dance. And there I was behind him. And it was you mentioning other places dancing.
It was the one and only time I've ever fell dancing.
You tripped over, didn't you?
Yeah, basically it had a wooden floor around which had a raised edge on it. And the heel caught the raised edge, so it flicked me backwards. So I'm kind of falling, thinking, right, well, what can I do now, actually? If I just roll over and jump back on, no one will notice.
I did.
So I did. And someone may just have that on video, because I know I've seen it on video, but I have no idea
I'd
where it is now.
I'd love to see that, because I'm dancing behind you and I didn't even know you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good to find out. It'd be good to find out
so
if it
Kirsty,
exists.
There you are, that's another one for you.
That'd be great, we'd get that one posted out. Oh, brilliant stuff. Now, I've got a laugh at Lynn Williams here, because we were talking about costumes, and I just love this. She's put adults with dressing up boxes with this emoji face. With this emoji face. Oh, dear me. Oh, God, she is funny. Oh, dear. So, let's talk, as we mentioned it, let's talk a little bit about the LDF. Because obviously, I would say it's been great. We've worked alongside as well when we went, say, the one at Withenshaw, when it was held at Withenshaw. Of course, which is which a fabulous venue.
Yes.
Really, really great. When things all in the venue changed from there, to be honest.
Well, we're back there if everything goes right.
Yeah, everything gets going. We should be back there.
September,
I think.
Well, let's marvellous. So fingers crossed are there, because that's,
fingers crossed, yeah. All being well, we'll be there in September.
Well, I mean, we can probably also go and do socially distancing on the car park and run it anyway.
Well, it's big enough, isn't it? The car park there is big enough, yeah.
It's a big car park.
Yeah. We can do Tropicana parking lot. It's not a problem.
So you've done a lot with all the different fundraisers for LDF, which of course is, just at this current moment in time as well, as is doing phenomenal work. Take my hat off to Helen O'Malley and Betty,
absolutely, for
all the events that they're putting together. There is another one coming up. There is another one. But I'm not allowed to say anything. I would say
he's going to secrecy.
I am, but there is something else that I know is in the pipeline today. But it's been what I think is it's so special that to have a charity within our own industry, and to help at this moment in time, I don't think it's ever been more important.
Well, very true, because I mean, there's no doubt about it that line dancing or any social event has been absolutely crippled with what's gone on. It's very sad, really, because you kind of think, when are we ever going to be back together? And under what circumstances?
But they're keeping us together at the moment.
But what you're doing here and what the LDF do anyway, they're keeping us together, which is great.
Everybody helping each other.
The kindness of everybody as well, pulling together, has been phenomenal in terms of everything that's been going on.
Definitely reaching out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Jose, I was listening to Fred's show, just before, of course, with Jose, and it was lovely. Jose said, because obviously they were talking about Streamline and why Stream. And it was really lovely for Jose to say, when he got together with JP and Daniel Trapat and that, People travel all over the world to see them. People pay a lot of money to go and see them. And it was their only way of trying to, so they said, of giving something back to the community, to all the dancers, to everything, which I think is just really, so lovely. You know, real, very, very touching. And again, to all the choreographers, and especially, and we'll talk about virtual stuff. Are you guys doing virtual videos?
It's quite interesting, this, because I don't know, I doubt you'll have ever seen what we do, because you're playing the music while we're outside here at 8 o'clock on a Thursday. Up until all of this, I had never done a live video, and Alan's not on Facebook anyway.
No.
So my first two weeks outside our front door trying to do a live video, anybody who watched it must have been lying on their side, because I got sideways videos, and I'd got Alison in Australia contacting me saying, you've got to get this the right way up, you need to do this, need to do that. I'd got YouTube videos up, how to do it. I should have just got in touch with Debbie, shouldn't I? She'd have sorted me out.
Anyway, it's an iPhone, so it's rubbish anyway.
So by the time...
Oh, here we go.
So this is the Android versus iPhone.
Oh.
Yeah. And so anyway, I get it the right way up now. I don't know how I did it, but I do, and I just do the same thing every week. So when it came to doing anything else, I mean, Alan's... Oh, I don't know if it's been announced yet. Alan's doing one of the retro line things with Rachel.
Oh, that was for later.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. And we've been trying to find space at home to do it. Dave, you've been to our house. You know we're limited for space. You know, very similar to you.
Yes, limited is definitely the word for us.
Might end up on the patio I've just built.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, and it's carpet as well. And just before all this happened, in the middle of February, I damaged my ankle. And, I mean, the class will know this already. I've really struggled with my ankle trying to get it right. And every time I try and dance on carpet, it's not doing it any good at all.
I keep kicking her in it.
And we've done some bits out on the grass for the round the world, the electric slide and everything. And we've done bits and pieces. So when it came to doing anything virtual, it was like, to go live and do it, if my ankle packs up or partway through doing something, I'm not sure, and if the video's sideways, everybody would fed up with it. So what I've done is I've videoed some little dances. We have our own Facebook page for the class that we've resurrected during this time. It's laid dormant for quite a long time. It was made a long time ago, and then we didn't really use it because we see them all, and Alan has a website, so the website's used mainly.
If anybody goes to it, of course.
So far as virtual teaching's gone, I've only actually got up a couple of videos, but I have got one that's made to go up. So they're not live. They're live when I do them, and we're sort of experimenting at the moment with what we can do, because the way things are going, it feels like it's going to be a long time before we see our classes, and it's too long to wait and not do any. But I have shared things that other people have done. We've had some lovely teachers of some dances that we've done in class, and I've managed to share some of them with the class as well. So that's the nearest we've got to it, and Alan's got his retro line to do. So if anybody sees his name come up for that, it could be very interesting how that turns out.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. It'd be really, really great. So your next dance, guys, number six. We love this one. Absolutely love this one. I remember teaching this down south where we went did quite a few weekends for Anne and Brian Bambury back in those great days. And this was No More Cloudy Days. Remember teaching this one.
Well, No More Cloudy Days is kind of special anyway. Mm-hmm. Basically, people generally ask you, how long does it take to write a dance? And sometimes it's really quick, sometimes it's not so quick, depending on the dance. This one was the time it takes a kettle to boil. And it was Boxing Day, and I was making a brew, and put the kettle on, this track come on, and basically wrote the dance as it was playing, which was like, I quite like this, get it all together, about a week later, I wrote the script up and everything, and because it's Christmas holidays, nothing's happening. We were in Bolton, sat in a sat in a cafe bar. If you can remember those days when there were cafe bars that you didn't have to sit 800 miles from each other. And I got a text. And it's like, don't normally get texts, me, you know. And it was from Lizzie. And it was basically, she must have sent a blanket text out to a load of people. Lizzie Clark, I should say. And basically saying, has anybody got any dances? So I just text back and say, yeah, I've just wrote one to the Eagles. I'm going to release it after Christmas. She was doing a Double H weekend down at Ensby. And I sent her the script and sent her the music. And I got a thing back saying, yeah, I'll teach you, but you're never really sure whether people do actually do that, you know. And she must have just taught it, and I got this bloody brilliant, they love it, was the thing back. And it was like, wow. So Lizzie Clark taught that before we even got back to class to teach it. And the other thing about that was also at the awards that year, which was probably beginning of February, actually, in those days. It might have been at the end of January, but I don't think so then. I think it was Sunday morning, and Gary was DJing, and he put it on. And I'm like, hang on a minute, it's only been out about 2 weeks. And there was a few of us dancing it. And by a few, I mean, you know, you're just talking about maybe 15, 20 people, maybe. And you know how many you get at the awards. But the people coming up, is that your dance? Is that your dance? Yeah. And kind of kicked it all off, and I was astounded by it. Just really, really good. And also, the other side of that was, we actually did a partner dance to it as well.
Ah.
So,
don't do many of them.
No, don't do many of them. And I just kind of sat there one day, and I'm thinking, you know, we could do a partner dance out of this, and I'm not right good at writing partner dance scripts, so I have to have a go.
And do you remember where we taught it?
No.
France.
Oh, yeah, we taught it in France. Yes. Yeah, we taught it in France when we went there. I mean, this is years after it was out. And
we taught it to in a tent, didn't
yes,
we, in a marquee.
Yes.
And we taught them this part, the dance to No More Cloudy Days, which is basically the same steps but as a part of the dance. And in the evening, they had a live band on. I can never pronounce the name of it. Alan will tell you what they were called.
Chachahoochee?
Yeah.
After Alan Jackson track.
Yeah. And they were the live band in the night, and we were absolutely astounded. Every single dance that we had taught during the day, the French people that we had taught, they danced every dance to, they made them fit anything that the band were playing.
Yeah.
And then they did No More Cloudy Days as a partner dance in this marquee, and I just looked up and I said, look how well they're dancing that, they do it better than us.
Yeah, well, I mean, they
made it beautiful.
What they were doing in France then, and hopefully they're still doing it, they were doing what we used to do in the early days, where it didn't matter what the music was, you just made the dance fit. So, yes, yeah. That was that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I remember the reaction that they got when I definitely taught at Anne and Brian's event. Everybody's just, oh, you know, it's like, oh, wow. But yeah, good old saying.
I think if Dave and Pauline are listening, I think they're on, aren't they?
They are.
I think it was one of Dave's faves as well, I think. I'm sure if he's listening, he'll remind us of that. But he just used to call it Cloudy Days.
Cloudy days. But yeah, love this, guys. If you say, again, this is another one, guys, if you didn't do this the first time round and you want to, and this is a great one to bring back to your classes, again, it's one that you say, oh, your majority, all your classes can do this, but just really, say, just really lovely, and it's like, it's my kind of track, so here we go.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It is, nice, smooth, here we go, No More Cloudy Days, then, and this is the Eagles.
Of loving day, these clouds. you've been hurting. Maybe I've been lonely too. I've been out here lost and searching, looking for a girl like you. Now I believe the sun is gonna shine. Don't you feel afraid to love her again? Put your hand in mine, baby. I would never make you cry. I would never make you blue. I would never let you down. I would never be untrue. I know a place where we can go, where true love always stays. There's no more stormy nights, no more cloudy days. I believe in second chances, I believe in angels too. I believe in new romances, baby, I believe in you. These cloudy days to an end. You don't have to be afraid to fall in love again. Baby, I would never make you cry. I would never make you blue. I would never turn away. I would never be untrue. Where we can go, where true love always stays. No more stormy nights, no more cloudy days.
So there we go there. No More Cloudy Days there. So one of my absolute favourites. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. So there we go. So we're happily chatting away in the background there. I nearly forgot to plug you back in. So we were just looking at the time and she said, the guys were going, is anybody still with us? I went, you'd be amazed actually.
Sorry, I got sleep.
No, it'd be brilliant. So, say that was No More Cloudy Days. Now, the next one, say the next dance, of course, was a huge hit for you, Alan. And it was also a competition dance, and at number 5 came in Before the Devil.
I never knew it were a competition dance.
It was used with Masters in Line. And it was definitely used in the heat. Because I DJ'd for Rachel at her heat that she used to run in York at the time, the Jorvik Challenge, and it was, and I'll tell you the reason why I remember this, because I was doing ages ago now, doing a timeline show, and of course, Before the Devil was in the top 10 chart of that particular magazine, and me not looking properly at the time, just said, oh yeah, there we go, Before the Devil, and whacked it on. And then to my surprise is that the track stopped after 2.5 minutes. And I thought, what's going on here? And realised I'd played the comp- I'd played the edit that was used in the competition.
Real.
But yes, indeed. So yeah, Before the Devil. So again, how did this, was it just the piece of music for I Have to Write a Dance, or again, does it have a story attached?
Well, most, I've got to say, the vast majority of the dances that I've wrote and still write. They've all got stories to them. Before the Devil, that's a story with it. I got to say, I mean, like I say, I like lyrics, and this has got some really good lyrics in it for people that are going through bad things. And at that point, I was going through a bad thing in my life, a bad time. But it came on, and it was just like, I have to write to this. Don't matter what it is. And up until then, I tended to do quite long dances, all 64 counts, some 48, some longer than that, you know. And I just thought, I just want to do something that's dead simple. So I wrote this and made it so that you didn't, there's turns in it, but you don't have to do the turns. You can just walk with it. Just made it so it was achievable by everybody that I thought so. And I was in Portugal. This is when Maggie was having her first child. And I was there with
Charlotte.
I was there with Charlotte. Charlotte was Maggie's stand-in. And I taught that there. And what happened was there was an Amy Christian dance called
Feel So Good.
Oh, yes, indeed. Right, so, God, you know, I can't believe that was that long ago.
Well, yeah. It was before that, really. Mm-hmm. But that was around. And Maggie had give us our instructions of what we had to teach, which is no problem, we were. And what was happening, I mean, I'm going off piste a bit here at the minute. Tim was DJing. And, Tim Rusger. He put Feel So Good on. Well, I could do that. So I kind of did it. And there was a couple of us. But then people kept coming up to me and saying, can you teach us that dance? I said, no, it's not a thing. We can't teach it. And they said, we really like to learn it. So during the evening social, I'd take a few people out to balcony on the top of the hotel and go through it with them. And it got more and more, so like more and more people were coming to learn it. So I said to Charlotte one day, it must have been, one evening, it must have been Wednesday, it must have been the Thursday. And I said, I think we should teach this in the workshops. And he's like, well, we can't. We've got our instructions. We can't do it. I went, well, maybe we shouldn't tell them. Maybe we should just say to Tim, right, this is not what we're teaching. We're going to teach Feel So Good, which is basically what we did. Mm-hmm. And his face was a picture.
I can imagine.
It's like, we weren't on the roof on this one. We were down to the it was the morning teach. And we did it. And I did it with, at that point, I had a few things like, you put your hands up to the side, you're directing the traffic, bring them round, stop the traffic there, all this, that, the other. So there was that. And, of course, everybody loved it. And I think it was about on the Friday, as we were getting ready to go out, I suppose, he came up and said, the best bloody thing you ever did that. I was actually doing that. But getting back to Before the Devil, what I like about this, because it is, I was going through a bad time, and the song is all about going through bad times and coming out at the other end. Mm-hmm. But the main thing about it was, I went to an event up in Leeds, and they put this on, and this woman come up to me, and I can't remember who she was or anything like that, and she just said, this dance, this record, got me through my divorce and the hard times that came through. And I went, that's exactly why it was wrote, because it gets you through things. It tells you that, no matter what's happening, at the end of it, things will be good. And that's, I suppose that's relevant for these things today, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very much so.
It's nice getting comments from the dancers about, obviously, dances that we've choreographed and how much they like them, but it's more interesting for the stories that they have.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And I just think if I can give people, give them a helping hand or whatever, just do something that makes them forget the worries for a bit, That's me done. So that's the most important thing for me.
Absolutely. Well, of course, this is not just a dance as well. Of course, it's a dance of legend as well.
Yes. Now then.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the one that was never supposed to get, apparently. I seem to recollect somebody saying, I've got to dance to that, so you're never going to get a legend.
Yes, there was. Yeah, of course, there was another dance out to this as well at the time. Yeah, at the time, but hey-ho.
And I can remember something that Rachel said to me as well.
Okay.
She taught it.
She did. Yes, she did. Yeah.
Yes, and, well, what she said to me was the certain person that wrote the other dance was having a go at her for not doing the dance that they'd done.
Yep.
And she just went, well, it's better and easier than
she did. No, she did, because those times as well, back in those days, I used to go over to Rachel's and used to stand in for her, of course, with her class when she was travelling, when she was had to go away somewhere if she was going to the States and teaching. And that's exactly, yeah, that's quite right, she did. Because I think I said something along the lines of the time when I said, oh, I didn't expect you to teach that version.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seemed obvious to me. It was a great track. And, you know, you don't want to do anything silly on a track like that.
Well, anyway, well done. Well done for your dance of legend. So here we go, everybody. This is the full.
From any legendary events now.
So here we go. This is the full version, guys, of Before the Devil. Okay, this is Rodney Atkins.
A sign there on your back says, I don't mind if you kick me. Seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse. You think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back, and I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving, face that fire, walk right through it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Yeah.
So there we are, guys. There's the full version before the devil.
But you wish you had the short version, really.
Oh, no, we've been laughing because I've just said to them now, I said, you do like to write to long tracks, don't you? And they, what do you mean? And it's so funny, all the tracks of the dancers have all been over four, like they're all over 4 minutes.
Well,
I thought, there's a theme going on here.
Yeah, as I said, it gives you time to get them right. If you can't get it, you know, 2.5 minutes, it's wasted.
Just before, quickly, we've got to get this in, just before we go into the next dance, which, of course, I know Jackie's going to talk to us as well about Texas time, and at number four. But before, I was just saying to Alan, one thing I remember Alan for, and he really went up in my estimations at that time.
thanks.
No. No, he played, honest to God, it was, when people play different tracks for obviously, dancers. Black Coffee. Alan, tell the listeners, what did you play Black Coffee to?
Oh, Doctor in the TARDIS.
Yeah. My parents will confirm this. I mean, I've always been a huge Doctor Who fan. And I'm probably the only person in the household. Deb's there pulling her face at me, like rolling her eyes, like, oh God. But yeah, and I remember the first time going, and I'm trying to place myself where it was, and I couldn't believe it. So we're going to do Black Coffee, and you put that on.
Well, the thing is, I mean, as much as I enjoy country music, mm-hmm. I've got a vast knowledge is not the right way, but I've got a vast interest in all types of music. But I'm from Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and Jethro Tull, and all of those kinds of things. So country music was new to me in some respects. So I have all them tracks in my head, and all the years where I was growing up where we were headbanging, you know, you head jogging up and down and all that, going watching all these bands. So that's, and of course, you've got all the 40s stuff with my mum and dad and all this and the other. We covered every aspect of the thing. And as I've got older, I've learned to appreciate some more than others. You know, but I'm never going to go away from Led Zeppelin or Jethro Tull and those other. Beatles, definitely massive. Rolling Stones, I mean, you never got the Beatles and Rolling Stones together, but you did in our house.
Are you waffling?
I'm waffling, yeah. I'm trying to make everybody go to sleep.
Well, I think you've already sent Leslie to sleep.
Oh, no, bless
her. Leslie kid.
Well, Leslie, Leslie, bless her. She's still working. She's working, bless her. So,
this is
the late show. It's known as this, and it does get late. So, I'm never offended when people say, right.
I think she got it wrong, but can't stop yawning. But we don't stop moving.
No, but of course, the shows are all, I would say, for catch up. And I always have the late, I say, everyone say all the late birds as well. And, who like to listen to, get all the show in. But, so, Texas Time. Of course, another hit dance. and again, an award-winning, award-nominated dance too, the Crystal Boot Awards. And you were also nominated, weren't you, for, and I always want to call it the CNN.
CCN.
The CCN, I always want to call it CNN, as well. Which, so, I mean, you know, what an accolade, you know, for... For a dance?
Yeah. Well, it's Keith Urban.
Yeah, to be truthful, yeah, I mean, you picked a fantastic artist.
It wasn't the obvious track
to
pick.
The thing I like about Keith Urban is he does his rock as well, so, you know, it's great. Get the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Alan got the album, the Graffiti U album, because, I mean... Both of us are massive Keith Urban fans. It goes back a long, long way.
He's all right.
Okay, I kind of like him too. And, he's actually touched my arm, Keith Urban. I haven't washed since, you know, I realise that. Run his hand up my arm, nearly pulled my bracelet.
He was actually going for a bracelet, really, but he missed.
I'm glad you said he would touch your arm. I wonder what's coming there.
Yeah, I couldn't get anything else nearer. Texas Time, when Alan got the album, the Graffiti U album, I mean, there was the obvious track on there that was very upbeat. But we were actually sat in the garden listening to it. I mean, it was It's actually now just over 2 years ago. Texas time is just over 2 years old now. And we were sat in the garden and Alan was playing the track and, you know, I love everything Keith Urban does, but some tracks take longer to come through. You don't always like everything straight away. You never would. And Never Coming Down was an obvious one, but it obviously was going to have tags and restarts in it.
Yes.
And you're listening for these things all the time. And Texas Time came on and we just both looked at each other and we just knew there was just something. We just knew straight away that we were going to choreograph to it. I mean, I have to say that the bulk of the choreography is Alan's in that.
Right.
The ending is all mine. And there's a bit there's a bit of story behind that. You said it was my turn. Can't shut him up now, can we? I'm the one that's had the drink, not you.
I don't drink.
yes, that was the obvious one. And We choreographed it and it basically wrote itself. And Alan, you've got to pull him back all the time because he has his forte to go towards the more advanced dance that they put everything into it. And I mean, although I teach all levels, I basically teach you sort of, absolute beginner, improve a level, and I'm always looking for things and I'm pulling him back saying, come on, let's have something that everybody can dance. And it got to the end.
Well, even I said, we didn't need anything silly.
Yes, we didn't need anything silly. There's no tags or restarts in it. And he had this ending on it. And I got so annoyed with him, I said, just go out for a walk. Just get out. You actually went for a drive, yes. It probably wasn't warm enough to walk.
It probably takes us on to another dance, actually.
And he went out and I looked at the end of it and I'm looking at these counts and the minute he'd gone, it just all fell into place how to finish this dance off. He came back and I just said, look at it. If you don't like it, put back in what you put. And he just looked at it and he actually said,
I've already done that bit. I wanted a two-wall dance.
But anyway, so to cut long story short, otherwise we'll never get it played. That's what happened. And also, we were then going to teach it at Eurodance. Mm. And we couldn't hold it back for Eurodance. With a track like that, we had to release it. Sometimes you really want to hold on to a dance until an event. And you weigh it up. Do you hold on to it? Somebody else might write to it. What do you do? But with this particular one, we had to release it, and we still taught it at Eurodance, and there were people there that hadn't learnt it. There were some that had, and it was an amazing experience. Actually, I mean, that was teaching that at Eurodance was brilliant. Mm-hmm. So that was, but Texas Time sort of moves on a little bit from that because we have a friend down. I'm going to say down south because
yes, sir.
Down south on London Way, Stuart Wilson.
Oh yes,
Stuart was one of the very first people to teach Texas Time. So if he's listening or anybody that he knows is listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. he fell in love with it as soon as he saw it, heard it, everything. He was one of the very, very first people to teach it. And I think probably one of the first people to probably write things on Facebook about it, to spread the word a little bit. And we actually met Stuart several times. He was at C2C when we went to C2C. He's been all sorts of places.
He was in the door as we arrived at Eurodance.
Yes, he was.
Alan!
Yeah, he was at Eurodance. Yes. I've taught this before you do it at Eurodance, yes. And then at the CBAs, when it was nominated last year, he was there and It was very apprehensive. I mean, Gary O'Reilly was almost guaranteed to win with Vanatech Chart, and we love Vanatech Chart, and we still dance it, and our classes love it.
Yes.
So for Vanatech Chart to beat Texas Time wasn't a bad thing.
I'd have been annoyed if it were anything else.
But what was really, really lovely was the fact that it was nominated. We got loads and loads of lovely comments about it. People love the dance. And Stuart came up to us, and I've got it in my hand now, and he gave us a Texas boot. It's a key ring with Texas on it. I think I did post a picture of it at the time, and we've still got it. I'm actually holding it now, and it meant so, so much to both of us. It was like getting an award off somebody because he was the first person to teach it, and he presented us with this little Texas time. But I'll try and take a picture of it later, and I'll post it for you so you can see it. And we've seen Stuart a few times since, and he does remind us that he was the first person, one of the first people to teach Texas time.
It is always lovely if a particular person, when you write a dance, and if there is somebody out there that, if you like, championed your dance, goes out there and says you must do this. Now I say, I know she's not, she's gone off to bed now, but I know Lynn Williams, I know how that feels, because when Jenny Stevenson and I choreographed both, Lynn Williams couldn't get out there fast enough to tell people, and she went. And I know how that, when somebody does that, you know, just, you know, it's all, to be truthful, it's all the more special.
Yeah.
It really extra is. Special. It means so much. It does.
I think for me, I like it because, as far as I'm concerned, we don't do that much pushing dances.
No.
If people get out there and they like them, that's more important than if we'd have pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed.
Absolutely.
And so I've never really done that with anything. I just put it out there.
Well, we got invited to the CCN Awards. That was a real shock. It had been nominated at the CCN Awards as well. We went along, and a couple of our friends, Lynn, I know Lynn's listening tonight if she's still awake.
She's up early. She's going to be up early. So,
different Lynn.
Oh, different one.
Lynn Wilde.
Oh, Lynn, she could be.
Lynn, she was listening earlier. She might still be on. I'll probably see something come up now. Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, cause she hasn't got to get up for work yet. She's not back in school yet. And Lynn and Carol.
Oh, and Carol Baker.
They went. We took them to the CCN Awards with us. We were allowed to take two guests with us, and we took them along with us. And it was quite an eye opener. It was a brilliant experience. It was a lovely place. We booked into a Premier Inn nearby, and they decided to go for a B&B. Wow, what a B&B they chose. It was amazing. Anyway, they went along with this, and
I'm still awake, she says.
Oh, she's too far. Hi, Lynn.
I heard the ping.
Sorry, you're still awake.
Just studying. Yeah, for going back to work. She's studying. Yeah. We had a fantastic weekend, and Texas Time was played and played, and all the bands played it. This is another thing with Texas
Time. And the other stuff as well.
Yeah, but all the different bands went on, and they all played it, didn't they, along with all sorts of other ones of Alan's. I think Alan was barely off the floor, and we were sat right at the back of the room.
Oh, we're knackered.
We had to walk all the way to the front every time something came on.
Yeah, because we parked ourselves at the back of the room, you know, like it's like, we're strangers here.
So that was amazing. And again, Tina was there. Tina Argyle. It was her little dance that won.
The Gary Perkins one.
Yes.
Remind me, where did they hold that? Where was it? It's the sea.
Oh, come on, Norfolk.
It was Norfolk.
It was warmer than here. It was not far from where Tina lives. It was Norfolk. See.
Oh, I can't remember the actual village.
No, I'm racking my brains. Lynn, can you remember if you're listening? Where do we stay?
We just need to root out this B&B. That's all.
Lynn and Carol will have kept an eye.
Just, you know, if we decide when we can travel, you know.
I think I'm pretty right in this. It was around Bury St Edmunds.
It was a bit further on than that.
You had to go over the river and about 10 miles.
It was in the middle of nowhere.
It was in the middle of nowhere. And it was a bowling club with a big tent on it and everything.
It was a ranch. They had
a bowling club on there. They had this big marquee, and it was all laid out for the awards and everything. Yeah. And M.T. Allen runs it.
Okay, right. So have you got this, guys? Have you got this, guys? It's just over the river. And it's got a bowling green. Now, got this.
Just go over the river, yes. I can remember driving past it in the car and having to go back.
And for those of you that remember Birchwood, Fort San Antone, very similar sort of outlook on the front, but it sounds like cleaner inside.
Oh, it's fabulous. Really, really good. Really good event. Well run and everything.
Well, We've just got a couple of comments as well. Jan Zinner and Suzanne, of course, both, I say, both from Australia. So just before we get the track on, Keith Urban is on Sunrise Morning Show. We're just now in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And, and of course, I love it. Jan Zinner, I love doing this dance. Only the best from Aussie land. Because, of course, Keith Urban. So,
well, he's Australian.
He's a...
Yeah. He is, yeah.
So there
the
we go.
Both are, actually. Him and his missus.
Yes.
There
yes, of course.
There must be something wrong with Australia, though, because they don't live there all the time.
No. And I think they're hardly there. so let's have a listen then, guys. I'm sure you're rolling back the rugs. Up you get. Here we go. This is Texas time.
And don't forget, you got Josh's one.
Yeah.
So, there we are, guys. There's a lovely bit of Texas time there, and Keith Urban. So, Alan and Alan Jackie, I've got to say a big hello to you from lovely Pat Stott.
Hey,
oh, Pat. Hi, Pat. How's your arms? All those press and
all them muscles you'll be getting now.
Yes, she's been doing, just like Debbie. Yeah, the pair of them. There in the morning, doing all the push-ups and sit-ups.
Absolutely amazing. Alan's practicing. He still hasn't got the first one yet.
I can do it on one finger. Not. Too old for any of that.
Right, so I'm saying good night, bless her, to Kirsty. Kirsty, you must say, good night, my love. Thank you for joining us as well tonight. So let's have a look. Let's go on to the next one. So you say your next dance at number three, of course, is none other than Human Dancer. Now, I happen to, as you know, I did play this one out last night because I covered the Line Dance magazine of May 2009, and it was number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've never known a dance. I've never seen one of my dances at number one in Line Dancer, so I was gobsmacked.
You never used to see
I kind of never follow charts or anything like that. You know, you tend to hear if it's doing well, mm-hmm. That's fine. You know, it sounds a bit blasé, really, but I'm not really one for charts and this, that, and the other. You know, it's hard to put into words. I mean, they're fine. I'm always amazed if I get something in there anyway, so it's
I had really a quick look at that magazine after your show last night, and Alan's photo kept popping up at the beginning of charts because they used to do charts for areas.
Yes, they did, yeah, and that particular things. Yeah, well, that at that point as well, they started expanding and giving top tens of different countries and levels and everything.
It was a good magazine, that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, honestly, some of them are the things that remind me, things you've forgotten. I know I just do just jump in actually. Just Dave Baycroft has run a poll as well recently, which I think is marvellous. He's been asking for dancers of retired choreographers and people that people loved or people might want to see back again. It just reminds me, you know, when I go through some of the magazines when I'm doing the shows, I do, you know, you spot things and you think, you've totally danced, you've totally forgotten, it. And you just think, I just would love to do that again. So, of course, Human Dancer, as I told you last night, you see, of course, it was the music I first heard in the car.
Yeah, Human Dancer, I'll try and do a really quick story of this because Jackie can finish it off. Basically.
All right.
Yeah, she can put her memory to it. My memory of Human, the track, anyway, I was obviously working and I was going to work. It was about 10 to 7 in the morning. Sarah Kennedy. If you remember Sarah Kennedy.
Yes, I do. Busman's Holiday.
She did the show before Terry Wogan come on. And this was one of the last tracks she played. So it was about 10 to 7. And she said, I'm going to do the new dance from The Killers. New song from The Killers. So I thought, this will be interesting. And then this come on. And I'm like, that's not The Killers. That's not The Killers I know. You know, and it was just like, she just said, that's the new one, it's going to be out in 6 weeks or whatever. And I'm like, that's not right. So I text Jackie when I got to work.
I was on my way to work.
Yeah, she was probably on her way to work. And I just said, find me the dance to this track, Human by The Killers. So because it's very different from what they do. It sounded like an old track. And I wanted to do the dance that had been choreographed to it because I didn't think it were a new track. And, you know, I got back, it was a Friday, because I got back at dinner time and she said, no, it's not out, it's a new track. So I went, oh, right, okay. So I better go and look for it. Of course, with it being 6 weeks to, you couldn't get it anywhere. But The Killers had it on their site. So I got it off The Killers' site and I'm going to let Jackie finish this off.
The choreography for this was, we were renting a house at the time in Falmouth And again, not much space, even less probably than what we've got here. And we had to move all the sofas back in the living room. And it was like made the room really long. And I think it sort of made the dance go very long as well. And I just remember, I can just picture the room with these like two sofas pushed back at each side, trying to make enough room for Alan to go up and down the room doing Human Dancer.
And then we went down to Sharon's.
We did. We went down to Sharon's at Burntwood. Sharon
went down to Sharon Hancock's at Burntwood. And I taught it there. And it was kind of, it was it really early on in its life, obviously, because I don't think I'd really let it out at that point. And I taught it there and they enjoyed it.
They loved it.
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah. And then lo and behold, we were going to the awards and it had been nominated. So they said, why don't you come down and we'll go through it again. So I said to Jackie, I said, I can't go down and just dance it. You know, I'm going to have to do something different.
Yeah.
So then I put the dip down, so we kind of did that. And they all kind of looked. And
waves.
And waves and things. And then people started adding bits to it. So when we were going to the awards, Sharon says to me, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but they've all learnt that bit where you go down like that and do that and the other. So when we do it,
all my dancers
want to be with you because they do it, but I'm not telling you. I don't.
She has about two tablefuls of people.
So Gary puts it on and goes to lining up. I mean, it was fairly, it was probably about 2 or 3 months after it had come out, all this. So I didn't fully realise how much it had gone. I got a few emails from people saying it's the granny's favourite dance and this, that and the other. And so we just stood on the front row, didn't really look behind us, and I got a tap on my shoulder. And I looked round and it was Betty. And she just says to me, Alan, I'm a Human Dancer virgin. And I went, what? She said, well, I've learnt it, but I've not danced it. So she said, well, don't follow me then. And it was great. And when we did the dance and we turned round to face the back, I think we just stopped in our tracks. Tears in our eyes. Because we're like, packed. Absolutely full floor. And I'm like, wow. Because of...
That's like, the year before it won, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the year before it won.
Yes.
Because of how it was, and because I'm always working all the time, I don't see my dances on that scale. So to see 1,200 people or whatever it were at the awards dancing it, absolutely blew me away. So that's my bit of the story anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's incredible. You know, you see again the awards, and so you go in somewhere like that, and you think so. People get up to do your dance. Yeah, it's the biggest award.
Yes. So I got tickets last year. Yeah, to see the Killers. I took Alan for his birthday to see the Killers, and they played live at Bolton Macron Stadium. Amazing.
I'm going to put this bit in as well, so you can play the track in a minute. So basically, the whole reason that I wrote Human was, in my eyes, and it's only my opinion, around that time, I didn't feel line dancing moved on much. It seemed as though it had lost its way a bit, and people had forgot the fun. Just from my perspective, that's how it looked. I'm not saying that's how it was,
no. But
for me, that's how it was. And I just wanted to put something back that would lift everybody's spirits and they have fun with and not have to think about it or anything. Just go for it. Do what you want and just let your head go. And it, in that respect, it did everything that I ever wanted it to. So, again, very much happy for the way that turned out and people having the fun that they did, because that was what it was written for. Put some fun back in what we do.
Brilliant. I mean, Pat's just said she's reteaching it as well on Zoom on Friday morning.
Brilliant.
Quarter past 11. So she's going to be redoing that. So here we go then. So guys, here we go. Let's all get ready. So with all the actions and get dipping down. Here we go. This is Human Dancer.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human? Or are we dancer?
So there we go, guys, a human dancer there. So I hope you're all dipping down there and putting all the actions in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan,
a little bit wore out.
You did that as an armchair one then. But you didn't move.
I didn't.
That
yeah.
Was
well,
first...
no, I did move. I was that fast you couldn't tell. It was just a blur.
That must be the first time that's been on and you've not danced.
Yeah.
So, well... Obviously, that we're into your top three. Obviously, the top three, and I would say probably the three. Yeah, I've got to be honest. In the top three, the ones that I think I would have expected, alongside Texas Times. But Hume, obviously, the next one, Wave on Wave.
Yeah.
And I mean, this one again. This one's never left. This one again is wherever you go, it's done. It's still done everywhere.
Yeah, I believe it got an award in America, but I can't confirm that.
Maybe somebody in America could.
Maybe somebody in America could. Yeah. Ooh. I can remember Joe Thompson contacting me a few years ago when Scooter Lee came to the awards. She contacted me to check it was all right if she did a video of the dance to go with the Scooter Lee track version of it.
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to say no to Joe Thompson, am I?
No. No.
And I wouldn't do anyway, but, because I'm always very honoured when people choose to do one of my dances. And, I mean, Christopher Gonzalez did Before the Devil.
No, he hasn't done it yet.
I don't know, he's doing it.
He's one of his.
So he asked me, and of course I say yes. And Wave on Wave, Kayla Cosgrove did it.
Just last week.
On the retro line. I'm just blown away that it's still here. It's the same with all the dances. For any choreographer, if it's got longevity, you can't beat that, because it's testament to the choreography and the dance that it stays. But Wave on Wave. Now then, speaking of Anne and Brian Banbury, mm-hmm. I used to go down there to Torquay.
Yeah,
and do an event with them, with Pat and Alan Mitchell, all from D&G, because I did my D&G training as well.
Yes,
although,
of course.
I didn't go to partner because I wasn't interested in partner dancing.
I'm surprised you got away with that, Mr. Birchall.
When I finally run into him again once in Grimsby, they reminded me that I hadn't done that side of the course. Well, it was great meeting them after all that time. Fantastic. I wrote it. It came on a CDX. There were two dances. I needed dances quickly because it was like a rush booking. Could you come down? It was like 2 weeks or something like that to go. So I wrote this and one other dance and taught them there, and it worked really, really well. And it just seemed to have kicked off from there. And then went to the academy at Manchester, because Pat Green was on. Rick Cully had mentioned it, and we all got tickets and went to it. And it was about 500 in this room, and he's on there. I've got to say, it was the first country artist that I'd seen live, if you like, because you see him on TV and what have you, and you kind of get a preconception of what they're going to be like. And he was absolutely, totally everything that I wanted out of a country artist. Brilliant. And he said, the week before, or 2 weeks before, because we were doing a little tour, he was playing to 50,000 people, and now he's down to 500. So it's like, ugh. And he said, right, at the end of this, we're going to buy you all a drink at the bar, because it's the drummer's birthday, apparently, which he did. And I was at the bar, and he just looked at me, and he went, "You're the guy that wrote Wave on Wave, aren't you?" I went, "Yeah, how do you know that?" He says, I know. And he says, "I want to thank you for it." I said, "Well, you don't have to thank me. I've got to thank you." He says, no, I've got to thank you for writing a dance to it." I went, no, you can't, because if you wanted on the music, I wanted on the dance. So I really have you to thank for that. But he was a brilliant bloke. Well, he still is, actually. And there's a little thing, I think I've got a bio on it, where he says it's always the last dance, last song he plays at a gig. And he said it's just like, to have something that's lasted that length of time.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. So, yeah, I'm very, very pleased with Wave on Wave.
But you see, he's right, though, because you see, when there are hit dance, I've always thought this over the years, especially in the line dance industry, if there is a piece of music, and especially if it's not, don't get me wrong, if it's not by one of the, you totally, totally, you know, your top A-list stars who have, you know, don't worry about line dance, but when it's a track by maybe a lesser known artist or whatever, if your dance is a hit, like Wave on Wave or whatever, you're obviously, a lot of people go out and purchase these tracks, so it does help the artists in quite a big way, or certainly help all the record labels.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, and to actually meet him, I mean, he's a big bloke, really is a big bloke.
Is he?
He was like a blinking football player in those days, you know, he's like quite, well, lot taller than I was, and a lot more muscly than I ever was. So it's just brilliant meeting him. Really nice guy. And, yeah, for something that I had to rush to write and to do it. I can remember Gary Lafferty saying to me, you can never understand why I put a mambo step at the beginning. And then it got about halfway through and he went, now I know why.
See? Yeah. You see, this is... But there we go. So you see, this is one of these dancers, you know, that... you never know as well at the time, do you? You know, you do these dances and you don't... You can never tell, you know, how it's going to go. Well,
nobody knows. And I think it's great that we all started putting... Or they started putting swimming things in, wave on wave.
And waving.
And waving and all this, that and the other. We have a Mexican wave going around the room when it's done as well now.
I was just going to add that. That's sort of for me as well, in terms of a big memory for me was being at, again, it was a Double H weekend, but it was in Skegness. And I don't know if you've been to the venue that was there, but it was huge, massive dance floor stage. But I remember, again, one of the groups that were on that weekend obviously played it. And I remember, God lover Kate. Do you remember Kate Clark? The late Kate Clark. That's full of fun. And the pair of us that day they were dancing, got it. And for those that weren't dancing, sat down. What a venue! Kate and I ran from either side of this venue round the floor to get the wave going for the whole of the song. And honest to God, the pair of us at the end of it. I mean, but you know. It's still such a fun memory.
You've done that somewhere else, Dave.
It has been done. Yes. Poor Clive Rea.
Yeah.
He didn't know what he'd let himself in for that night. Oh dear.
Were we in on the prom?
I think we were, but he'll avoid Clive every time this comes. If we're in the same room now, I know Clive will go and hide.
And didn't you get it going at Bridlington? It was the year.
Yes,
before we went.
Yeah, I've done it there. I've done it.
Saw it on the live.
Done it there. I think
it's your claim to fame.
Whitby. At Whitby as well at the Gene Worthy's the Ironstone event.
I remember going there. That's where I taught angels there.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Yeah.
But, you see the balmy days. So, well, here we go. Let's have a listen then to Pat Green then with Wave on Wave. So, we're going over this evening. I've got the nod.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's all right. It's fine. Those you say, here we go. Wave on Wave.
We're all playing the same game. We're all looking for redemption. Just afraid to say the name. So caught up now in pretending. What we're seeking is the truth. I'm just looking for a happy ending. All I'm looking for is you. You came upon me, wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Am I the one you were sent to save? You came upon me, wave on wave. I wandered out into the water. I'm still here, yeah. Am I the one?
So there we are, guys. Wave on Wave there, Pat Green. Awesome, awesome track. And Sharon Harris, bless her. Ooh, she's ee, Whitby. Oh, dear me. And Age O' Ages.
He
says that. That's Gemma Taylor's fault, that is.
Everything's
every time I say that's what she does with me, she's ee. But Adrian Checkley said, I would like to say how fantastic the pop country artists of late are acknowledging and embracing our line dance world, choreographers writing dances and bringing their music and our pastime to the fore, which is quite right. There's been quite a bit of that recently. Different artists now, you know, finding out or seeing videos on YouTube or whatever. Acknowledging.
I think being an old man and looking at this industry.
Well, according to me, you must be about 90 now.
Yeah, that's funny.
When you look back at trends in music,
Hello, are you there? Where's he gone?
It's all right.
Okay,
I think we're all right now.
I thought he'd gone for a beverage.
What's one of them? That's coffee,
though. Call it.
When I look at the trends in music, it's interesting, and I don't know whether anyone else has noticed this or whether it's just me being a silly old man or whatever it is, don't really matter. But you get pop music, country artists start following the pop music, and then when country comes popular, the pop artists start wanting to do country. And it's like, hang on a minute, we've just had all this through that era and that, this, that and the other. It just looks like they're trading with each other all the time. But yes, we're getting some really good country artists now.
Yes,
absolutely. You know, for me, it's more upbeat. I don't want all the sad stuff.
No.
I want the upbeat. Yes.
Yes, you like when we say dancer, we can put lots of twirls in and turns.
No, I don't think so. I'm not. I don't put that many turns.
I love it. Winding you up. So here we go. So. Well, from wave on wave over to the next one, of course. I would have been absolutely stunned if this had not come in at number one for you. I really would. Of course, Somebody Like You. And we're back to Mr. Keith Urban again, aren't we?
We are. And I can remember, I hate to say it, but I can remember exactly when this came out. And it was on a CDX. It came through. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of scanned through, like I suppose a lot of the choreographers, I kind of scan through and listen to a bit of the track and this, that and the other and try and think, yeah, I can write to this or this and the other. But I can remember this coming on and thinking, oh, it's Keith Urban. We've not had anything good from Keith Urban for a while. So I kind of listened to it and kind of listened to a snippet. So let's say first 45 seconds or something like that. And I thought, it's not very good, this. So I thought, okay, we'll go to the next track. And I went through, and I think the night after I went back, and listened to it again and listened a bit longer, and I'm going, he could do better than this, I'm sure of it, you know. And I was a bit like, oh, all right, okay. So I went and had a brew, had a cup of coffee, and I sit down and thinking, okay, let's give it another go. So I let it go a bit longer, and I went, ah, this is a little bit better. And it, as it picked up and built, and then about halfway through the song, I heard something, and I just went, I want to do that. That's what I want. I know what I want to do there. So I had, in the middle of the song, I had a step that was needed. Basically, it's a great big cymbal crash, and it happens loads of times. I knew exactly what I needed, because I wanted the dancer to experience, or to, well, experience what I thought would be like breaking through a plate glass window. So it's just like a big cymbal crash, and I'm going through a window, that type of thing. And it was just that. So I worked for, and that was about middle of the track, and I actually wrote it backwards, because I knew the eight counts that would go up to that, and then it was then tying everything in. And I was conscious that I didn't want anything silly right at the beginning of the dance. But
so you did a one and a half turn.
So we ended up with a one and a half triple turn, because that's the one that actually broke into the cymbal. And it was like, I was going to do this. So I very nearly didn't write that dance.
Wow.
The other thing about it is, I mean, I'm obviously extremely pleased with how it's gone on, but the other, it broke one record which stood for a long, long time, was it's the only dance at that point. Well, it was the first dance ever to win the same category twice at the CBAs. And I felt embarrassed the second year. I felt embarrassed because I always feel that the industry should move forward. And at that particular point, to me, it didn't feel like it did. But, and also from that one, another Betty moment was, I was stood at the side of the dance floor, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and she went, Alan, said, when I first heard this dance, I went, where did this come from? This music, where's this come from? You know, how's that won the year before? Which obviously blew my mind away, because it'd only been out about 2 months, three months at most, which was unheard of. But then she just said, but now when I look at it, I can fully understand it. And I went through lots of stages with somebody like you, because, to put it in a nutshell, I'm quoting Paul McCartney. He said of Yesterday, he's loved and hated that song, because you got your bit where you like it, and then you think, oh no, not again, we've got to play it again. And then you go back to it, and that's exactly what I experienced with somebody like you. I mean, but I must admit, that period where I weren't very happy with it was probably only about a month. Because for me, that dance, if I'm absolutely fed up and go on and do that dance or listen to the music, it raises me up. Really does. And it's like, I want to come off the floor. It does everything that a dance, I think, should do. You should come off that floor thinking, wow, that was brilliant. And that's what that dance does for me. And if everybody else gets that feeling, I can't knock it, because that's exactly what I wanted. But one of the precious memories is dancing with your Blair with it.
Ah. That's a good one. Blair loves this. It was one of the first dances Blair ever learned.
one of the first ones she ever did.
I think this and Patient Heart were like, you know, apart from obviously everyone remembers Blair, obviously originally with the wobble, and of course, that's really what started it off. And we never expected Blair to go on from that and start, you know, and then just dances that she seemed to just take to,
it just
took to them, but he was able to do them. It was also, you know, She's done this to all kinds. I mean, she's done it with all kinds of dancers when she's been little. I mean, we saw her stand at the side of a floor. She'd never seen Peter Metalnik's Feet Don't. She'd never seen Feet Don't Fail Me Now, and she stood at the side of the floor, and literally danced it as though she'd been dancing it You know, she, it was like, we've always been convinced she has been here before in that. We are convinced that she's done all these dances before. But yeah, this is definitely, I know this is what I'm saying, it's one of, somebody like you, of course, is one of Deb's, or again, Deb's all-time, one of her all-time favourite dancers. So I know that, I know that's another reason, Blair, obviously.
I have another thing with this one as well. Actually, I just remembered, sorry about this, folks, but at the awards this year, obviously they put somebody like you on, and again, like the floors, but we're going, we're dancing it away. But Alison, from Australia, was videoing. So she's going up and down the line, and she goes right down the line, and right at the bottom, there's Joe Thompson trying to pick it up on the dance floor. And I'm like, woohoo! So yeah, I mean, that was a really good memory.
Yeah.
But I can't, I mean, it's just...
Everybody sings it. All the artists sing it. Everybody. I mean, you know, everywhere you go, Natalie, Richard, just absolutely everybody. They're just, you can't go anywhere and it not be done. And even when you're tired, Alan, you still get up and dance it.
Hang on.
How did you hurt your leg?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the, yes.
One of my many
injuries. I've only ever had two injuries. One when I fell over, there was no injuries. But I think it was the first year at the awards, and they put somebody like you on the Friday night, and there was myself, Maggie, Chrissy Hodgson, all in a row, all dancing Somebody Like You. Ooh, another memory's just come back. Oh, sorry, guys. we got the bit where we're doing the full triple turn and pointing. And that's a bit where I generally kind of dip down a bit while we do it. But as I hit the floor, I felt like what I thought was a tendon going in my leg. And it was like, shit, I can't dance.
Can't say that.
It's too late.
Dear me, I can't. But I carried on to the end of the dance, and then I hobbled off. And then, obviously, the night after it won the award, so I had to
hobble up.
I ended up in hospital, checking it out that everything was okay. I was due to be in the show, but unfortunately, I couldn't do it. So it meant that Steve Healy had to take my part in the show, which I'd probably quite relax at, really, because I'm not very good at shows. And it was just phenomenal. I'd hate the day when I can no longer dance some of these dances.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it makes me wish I'd done some slow ones.
Well, there you go.
Well, not really.
No. I mean, there we go. I mean, of course, not one Crystal Boot, but two Crystal Boot award-winning dance. And again, probably, I would imagine as well, most nominated too, because of course it was nominated, wasn't it, again? A couple of years back now in the advanced category.
I weren't expecting that.
So, again, you know, there you are. What more can you say about the dance? So, guys, we're going to pop this one.
I think the thing that it won 2 years on the trot, that didn't get beat again till Mamma Maria with Frank Trace.
Yes, yeah.
And that was quite a long time after.
It was, yeah.
It's great.
Absolutely. So, guys, we're going to put this on the track now because we are coming to the end of the show. We'll go finish with this. And then we have, of course, a track, of course, that Alan and Jackie have asked me to finish with as well for this evening. So, hey, let's have a listen then. A bit of Keith Urban, Somebody Like You.
Somebody like you, and I'm tender days. I've forgiven myself for the mistakes I've made. Now there's just one thing, the only thing I want to do. I want to love somebody like you.
So there we are, guys. Somebody like you. Yes, I was the short version, I'm afraid, because just of time allowing. And, but thank you to, absolutely massive thank you to you, Alan and Jackie, for, you say, literally for staying with me for the whole, yeah, the whole, now, nearly three hours.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Oh, wow, indeed, absolutely. But thank you so much for all you say, all your memories and the stories. It's just been amazing. And I had some lovely comments both to say on the chat and privately as well. People tuned in and saying how much they've loved listening to you guys tonight. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I forgot to mention one thing though.
Go on.
Somebody Like You is what I will be teaching on the Retro Line.
Right.
When we get all sorted out. Is it Retro Line?
Yes, it's the social distancing, is it?
Social distancing, yes.
Yep.
Retro Line.
Yes, I've been asked to go through it. So
when we get a date.
And if Mr. O'Reilly ever picks up on this, I will be teaching it correctly.
Oh dear.
You'll know what you mean.
You'll know what I mean.
Absolutely. Also, just want to very, very just quickly mention and say, just to you, of course, we were talking very briefly about the LDF, obviously, early on,
yes.
Obviously, say that you are ambassadors.
Yes.
Because
yes,
we didn't mention that, yes. So just to say.
Honored.
So we always like to mention with the LDF, of course, Alan and Jackie are people that if you are in need of help or you know of anybody in need of help, Alan and Jackie are people that can guide you in the right direction. You can contact them and help out there.
Yeah, we're very honoured for that. I mean, to be honest, I mean we were there with Kathy Rice at the beginning. We only ever missed one LDF day, and that was when we were
Canada. Oh yes, when you were yes.
So we did a link.
Yes, because I know because I was invited to take your place.
Yes, oh, you were. Yeah.
Yes, when you were in Canada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember you saying, was it you that said to us, if I had a choice of going to Canada or going to Withenshaw?
Yeah, no, well, I like, yeah, well, I have, I've got a lot, I have a lot of family in Canada.
And I know. To be honest, it was a big thing for us, that, because, I know we want to finish, but basically, I don't like not turning up for a booking, if you know what I mean.
No, absolutely.
I don't like letting people down. And with LDF being so special, it was a really, really big decision, and we thought about it a lot, and it was only when we talked with others there that they said you'd be stupid not to go, so it kind of helped that. So thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, it was, oh, absolutely on. It was absolutely superb. Well, there we are, guys. Well, we're going to just tell us, so we're going to finish off then tonight with you. Say, I asked you your choice. And, of course, we're going to finish off with Masala, aren't we?
We are, yes.
Of course, from Gloria Estefan. Again, it's a, again a dedication. So I dedicated this to, of course, the lovely, say, late Mabel Thompson. And, of course, it's been, of course, her funeral today. So we're going to, say, finish off with this as a dedication.
We watched the funeral.
Huh?
We watched the funeral.
Yes, the funeral was on. Yes, was
actually. We had tears in our eyes.
Online. Yeah, indeed. Incredible, yeah. You say, like I said earlier, it's a bit to you, it was, you know, quite surreal in that respect, online, yes. You know, but of course, had things been different, we'd have all been, yeah, of course, we'd have all been there in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, guys, thank you so much. I hope it's not too long before we get to see you,
in person.
You never know. I mean, we can only see one person, so I can see you.
Yes. Yes.
I can see Debbie, but we'll yes. Pick up in the same place.
But yeah, you can. Yeah. We'll take. We can take a child each.
No, you can keep yours. You're all right.
Yeah. Well,
I don't mean that in the weird one.
No.
Yeah. Love to you all.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed. Best thank you all. So
it will
much,
be,
guys.
Be a great party.
Thank you. It's brilliant. I say, again, I say it's been, like I say, emotional, quite an emotional day. So I hope this has just brought a little bit of, tonight has just brought a little bit of light relief and a little bit of fun.
That's what we're doing these times.
Yeah, indeed. So, guys, love you, and we'll say we'll be in touch with you soon. Thanks very much to all of you who've tuned in, for the, say, everyone that's tuned in, whether it being part or whole show. It's been, say, it's wonderful for you all to come and support all the choreographers that are coming out to come and speak to everybody and say tell some wonderful stories. So thank you. We're gonna finish off then with Masala, and I say next time, I'll be with you. We'll be now on Saturday with the Streamline show. And of course, so Wednesday morning, you've got the lovely Susie Bow. She'll be kicking off your day tomorrow. So you've got more lovely, you've got lots of live shows tomorrow. Ross Brown will be with you. We've got Michael Lynn and we've got Kathy Hodgson as well. So thank you guys, and keep yourselves safe, keep yourselves well. Good night.
Good night.
Quieres de verdad, cuando brindas perdón en lugar de rencor, hay paz en tu corazón. Cuando sientes compasión del amigo y su dolor, cuando miras la estrella que oculta allá del rencor, de las lágrimas y el dolor, mira la luz del amor dentro de cada corazón. aceptas el error. Cuando encuentras lugar para la libertad, hay una sonrisa más. Cuando llega la razón y se va la incomprensión, cuando quieres luchar por un ideal, hay una sonrisa más. Hay un rayo de sol a través del cristal. Hay un mundo mejor cuando aprendes a amar.
Raving mad, you know.